shepherds and the shepherd. Let's get one thing straight coming right out the gate. God never wanted to appoint a king for man. Do you know why? God wanted to be our king. But man couldn't muster up enough faith to believe in something he couldn't see, even though he was the creator of all. So therefore, he had to give man what man wanted, and man usually gets what he asked for, and sometimes that's not much. So God sent then a shepherd. And why it is people want to dream up their own dreams and fly their own visions when it's written by the head shepherd, the chief shepherd, is beyond me. It applies to whomsoever will, whosoever will. Because there is a place and a destiny for all. But our Father, because man was restless, he divorced Israel and Judah. Give them a bill of divorcement. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8. He was tired of it because they always wanted to worship something they could build or carve or own, like a new car. Whoa, ain't I looking good? You know, it's all right to look good in a new car, but don't worship it. Don't put it before God, or you're headed for trouble. So he did, in as much as he loves his children, sent a Savior. So many people think that only the New Testament promises Messiah's children, Messiah's followers. Usually, and in many cases, the Old Testament shows Messiah's children, the remnant, even better than the new in many places. So that's why we're going to spend a great deal of time on that today in Ezekiel chapter 34. Turn there for me, please. And Christ will be giving a warning here. You with companion Bibles are very fortunate because it's already outlined for you. For those of you that do not have companion Bibles, I'm going to outline it for you basically as to who we're going to be talking about. Verses 1 through 16 has to do with false shepherds. That's false preachers. That's preachers that probably mean well in their heart, but they're not students of God's Word enough that they'll stick strictly to the Word, but bring in a lot of traditions of men. Verses 17 through 22 then goes to the false flock. That's the people that follow those fakes, all right? And then verses 23 through 30 have to do with the shepherd. I mean, that's the chief shepherd. That's Christ himself, the promise of him coming. And then, of course, verse 31 has to do with the true flock. I don't know, are you a part of it? Well, it remains to be seen. I'm sure you are, you wouldn't be here. Chapter 34, verse 1, let's begin. And as I said, we're going to open to the false shepherds. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, to son of man, prophesy against, not for, but against the shepherds of Israel. That means the leaders. Ezekiel chapter 34, we're in verse 2. The leaders and shepherds of Israel prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, or tend themselves, or think of themselves, or think only of their own party. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Should your idea not be to your country and your people without a bunch of malarkey, without a bunch of traditions? What is best according as it is written for the children, for the flock? Verse 3. Again, subject false leaders, shepherds. Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool. You rip them off, you skin them, you share them down to nothing. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Verse 4. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. What did Christ say to the disciples? He said, go but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel before the crucifixion. After the crucifixion, to the world. But to that time, he said, you go find what is lost. Let me tell you something. God has never lost anything. It is only man that loses himself. Doesn't, you know, many can't trace their generation back three generations. They don't know how God's word applies to them. And it is important, because God made covenants with people. And those covenants are to be adhered to if you want blessings. But here again, the subject is to the leaders. I'll tell you, it is disheartening and yet not surprising when we see the morals that are fed to the people and examples set to the children in this generation of the fig tree. When we have a pretty good idea that the third that Satan deceived in the first age are here now, in the flesh. They didn't have too much going for them there, and they don't care too much about what's going for them here as long as they get by. It's kind of a sad state of affairs, and it is real sad that the leaders do not discipline themselves as they claim they do. That in a sense makes them what? False. Really kind of false. And I'm not talking about any single entity. I'm talking about majority. Verse 5. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Scattered to the world. No leadership according to what? The true shepherd. It's going down the way it's written, and if you can't follow that path and those things that brings you success, you're in trouble. You're not going to mount a hill of beans. You're going to try hard, and you may even mean well. But I'm sorry, it goes this way. It is written. Verse 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains, that's to say the nations, and upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search nor seek after them. I don't know, do you? Every soul that is not saved is wandering in a maze of wonderment. And I mean flirting with eternal damnation just as sure as can be. That's why we strive, we work to have the truth taught, that all people can hear that truth and align with his word, pleasing God and not Satan. Okay? And again, I want to remind you, he's not talking to you. He's talking to false preachers here, false shepherds. Verse 7, therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. I mean, you listen to it. 8, as I live, saith the Lord God. This is God swearing by himself. You can count on it. Surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. 9, therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. You kind of begin to understand now why judgment begins at the pulpit. It's an awesome responsibility when one sets themselves up as an under-shepherd. You have an example to follow. Don't write your own doctrine. Don't guess at what the word says. Teach the word as it's written, and then you'll always be blessed. You won't be a fake. Well, I just had this idea. My mind wandered for a moment, and I was thinking about the moon and the stars and the water by the sea. Oh, were you? What about the word of God? Grow up, mature, and amount to something. Verse 10. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against. Did he say he's for? I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. Judgment begins at the pulpit, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth. What comes out of their mouth? Their lies. I will deliver my flock from their lies. What with? Truth. Truth. That they may not be meat for them. Can you remember what's back in 13 that he's against these false shepherds about so much? Let's just hold our place here and go back to chapter 13, verse 20, and let's understand real good. Hold your place now. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 20. Let's see what it is he's against these shepherds for teaching, misleading the children. Chapter 13, verse 20. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillows, wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. Fly away, O glory. You know, fly right into Satan's bed. You know, God doesn't like that. It's going down the way it's written. The sixth trump always precedes the seventh. Most intelligent people can count. You're not going to fly away. The so-called our gathering back to God, Almighty God and the Son in a spiritual body, is at the last trump. The Greek is very specific. It's the furthest one out. We've still got the six to deal with, my friend. That's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And it's happening today. It's building up to it. We're right at the door. The threshold is in sight. It just so happens that that 20th verse says a great deal. That verse 11, back in chapter 34 of Ezekiel. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, that's twice for emphasis, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Do you know what that's saying? I mean, don't read over it. He's saying, I care. I love them. I care. I will not allow them to be abused that way. Because I am their father. I do care. That's what he's saying. Don't miss it. 12. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. When is the day of darkness? Christ told you on the night he was betrayed, the prince of darkness now cometh. It's his hour. But, you know, most people have enough sense to come in out of the rain. It's too bad they don't have enough sense to come in out of the dark, because it's dark out there. And I'm speaking of Satan's control, his manipulation, his temptation, his lies. In getting right, do you know where Satan does most of his work? Right behind the pulpit. That's sad, and it's hard to say that, but that's why God is coming down on false shepherds. Because they don't only mislead themselves, they mislead many. Stay focused on your Father's word. If it isn't written, don't buy it. Anytime some man, this man or any other man, claims to be a preacher or a teacher or just whatever, check him out. Observe what he teaches. Look, how can I know for sure? Well, look what he's after, okay? If about half the time all he talks about is money, tell me really intelligently, what do you think he's after? You want me to say that again? If all he talks about is money and vows and your prosperity, if you meet his, If that's all he talks about, what do you think is on his mind? Now, really. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not calling names and I'm not condemning anyone. But let's teach the truth. And let's stick to God's word and do those things that are pleasing to our Father. It's cloudy. And it's getting a lot cloudier. I think I can already hear it thundering. Okay. Don't everybody look. It's not. I'm just saying that. Okay. I'm speaking strictly spiritually, even as dry as we are. 13. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. Our Father's in charge. That's why you sure want to listen to him and be pleasing to him. He doesn't have much room for these fakes, okay? He didn't say, I'm going to bring them out. Of course, isn't it wonderful that any one of them could repent and be in the blessings of God at any instant because God loves all of his children. It's kind of sad, isn't it? Turn a light on in your home. I'm speaking spiritually again. Don't you dare allow any darkness in your household. You keep it light spiritually. Don't give Satan... You give him a little bit, and the next thing you know, he wants the whole place. Isn't it amazing how people are? Yes, I go to church every Sunday. I just go down there and I just love to study the Word. But that woman of mine, I can't stand it the way she opens the toothpaste. Just can't stand her for doing that. Well, now look. Sweet and bitter water can't come out of the same spring here. Okay? So think of, don't let Satan work into your house over a tube of toothpaste. All right? How many of you are peculiar about how you open your toothpaste? Don't answer me, okay? I hope that's not a big thing in your life, but then, I don't know. Well, you know, it's all right if it is, but don't let it get in the way of serving God and being nice to the one you love. 14, I will feed them in a good pasture. That's a promise. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold. And in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Do you know something? You can have that now. Well, how can I have it now? Feed on the Word of God. Not a bunch of rag sheets. Not a bunch of fuzz busters that come out with one verse. And I'm not criticizing anyone, all right? If that's what they want to do, they'll pay for it. All right? But as far as you're concerned, study God's Word. Stay in it. And stay with it. And you'll never go too far wrong. And I mean always, you check every man out. This man, any person, check them out. And if they're a good teacher, that's what they want you to do anyway. Okay? Why? Well, that drives you into the Word. And that was their purpose coming out the gate. All right? We all learn together. He makes those promises, and he will have that fat pasture for us. That means plenty of spiritual food, stuff that will stick to your ribs, carry you through the sixth trump and all the way to the seventh and into glory. Praise God. Boy, I could preach on that. I could get going on that in just a minute, all right? Let's go to 15. I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. In other words, you're not going to have to worry about somebody breaking into your home. You can lie down and know you're going to get a good night's sleep. No, nobody's going to molest you. Nothing's going to happen to you. You're going to be just as comfortable and comfy as comfy could be. Why? He's your Father. And do you know what he says about you? Touch not mine anointed. And he means it. Okay? Use common sense, and many of these fall right in your lap today. Verse 16, and this completes the letter to the this part of the letter to the false preachers. I will seek that which was lost. I will shepherd them. That's what he's saying. I, get that, God himself, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. That's the shepherds, all right? That I will feed them with judgment. That's what they're going to get. What is their judgment going to be if they rip people off all their lives? Well, I can hear it now. Bear with me just a moment. All I did was taught the quarterlies that the hierarchy sent me. I just did what they told me. Why didn't you ever get around to my word? He's going to say, well, I thought that's what the quarterlies were. I'm telling you, my friends, you want to be very careful. Excuses, you know something? God doesn't buy excuses. You know, you either is or you ain't, all right? Because he knows your heart, and you're not about to con him. So, now, am I saying all of us are perfect? I don't think so. I know all of you pretty good. You know. No, none of us are perfect. But we do repent, and he does forgive us. We're not trying to con him about it. We're not trying to be something we're not. We can at least be honest with our Father. Hey, he does not like people that mislead his children, because they are touching his anointed. They're making it rough on all parties concerned. So be careful. Hey, you only have to captain your own ship, all right? That's your number one priority, because you alone will stand before God and say, hi, Father. Then he's going to talk to you. He opens the book, and there it is, all right? Just you and our Father. So be honest with him. He'll always be honest with you. He'll give you every break he always has. But check out what you hear. Don't, just because you hear something, you know, used to if people read it in a newspaper, they'd die for it. That don't mean beans, okay? Doesn't mean beans to read something in a newspaper necessarily. This is why you want to be real careful of the net, and this is why I refuse to use the net. Any information on it, you've got to spend twice as much time verifying as you would even if you read it in the newspaper, because it's very undisciplined. Okay, and I'm talking about if you have the responsibility of a teacher, you better be careful what you say. All right? Just because you read something or hear something, this is what you go by. It's that simple. It's God's word. It will never let you down. All right, to the false fold, to the false flock we go. Here was verses 17 through 22. Let's see if God lets those people that have been taught falsely off, you know, without any correction. Let's just absorb it. As for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle. Let's translate it, I judge between sheep and goats, between the rams and the he-goats. He-goats is atad, and it means the leaders of the people, the chief ones, kind of politicians, the whole gamut, all right? As well as preachers, all right? The whole boat. I'm going to do some judging. Verse 18. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. Do you know what this has reference to? Is a group that listens to a false teacher and starts flapping their wings or something else to make a great noise and fly, and the truth runs deep. It's deep water. And what they do is stir it up so bad that it's very difficult for a layperson to look into the Word and see the bottom or the truth. Okay? In other words, religion is just muddy up the water. If it's a religion that is false, that it doesn't adhere and stick to God's Word. Now, hey, I want to make one thing very clear. None of us are perfect, all right? So let's don't go pointing fingers or judging people. But at least keep it out of the bar ditches, all right? Keep it in the road. Too many people take off on crazy, idiotic nonsense and seem to think it has something to do with God's Word. Be very careful, my friend. Verse 19. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet. That's the goat's feet. And they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. That's what they get, and that's what they draw from. Well, you can take a shortcut. Get it straight from our Father. Verse 20. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I will judge between the fat cattle, the shepherds that led them, and between the lean cattle. That's the scrawny sheep that haven't been fed too good. Many of you in your travel searching for truth and everything, you wondered why you couldn't be satisfied, why you weren't fed, you were starving. That's who he's talking to, those that keep searching for the real truth, not from some rag sheet, but from his Word. You can see yourself within that. 21, because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I feel sorry for people that are biblically illiterate that decide they want to find a church. You know, they better pray to God, all right? Because what do they have to choose from? I mean, there are a lot of good churches, true enough. But a good Bible teaching church is a little difficult to find, but never give up, never give up. 22, therefore will I save. Here comes salvation, okay? This is Messiah. Therefore, I will save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle. I'm going to take care of it myself. You can look forward to that. We're not all the way there, but we're getting there, my friends. And he will answer your prayers today. Talk to him. Study his Word. Show yourself approved, rightly dividing the Word of God. Pay attention to who it's written to so that you better understand, such as now we're talking to the false flock. You don't want to be a part of that. But did you notice his prophecy, his promise was still there for them if they would simply say, Father, I love you, let me get into your Word. Okay, with verse 23, as we come to the next verse, there we go to the truth. There's only one shepherd, beloved. Don't ever forget that. It's Christ. That's why when you hear the Shepherd's Chapel, that means the Christ Chapel, not something else. You do well. Do we have under shepherds? Well, we got a lot of us that try. But there's only one shepherd. Listen to him, his teachings, and you'll never go wrong. Just stay with it. Okay. So here we go with the true shepherd. There's only, you know, I want to bounce back to what I said earlier about God wanted to be our king. Well, learn from that. He also wants to be your shepherd, okay? He doesn't want Arnold Murray or somebody else to be your head shepherd. He wants to be himself. He wants to be your shepherd. Well, how do I do that? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. St. John chapter 1, verse 1. So it's not difficult to find that true shepherd and be honest with him. Be true to him by absorbing that he gives us. So the Lord sends you this shepherd, the true shepherd. What you do with it, that's your business. Verse 23, to verse 30 has to do with the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua. And I will set up one shepherd over them all. How many did he say? Did he say a dozen? No, one. One shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Do you understand that's the credentials of Messiah? Let me ask you a question. Many people totally discount evil spirits or demonics. What most often did the demonics call Messiah? They called him the Son of David. They knew what his name was. They came from there. They recognized him. So when you see that mark, Son of David, then never mistake who we're talking about. Even the demonics call him by that name and obey it. Did you hear what I said? I said they obey it. If you want to start ordering evil spirits around, a little truth and a little wisdom can go a long way. He said, I'm going to send you just one. That's not, I'm giving you a multiple choice, A, B, C. No, I mean, he made it really simple. We just got one. And it is that stem of Jesse, the root that grew through David, that came to be Messiah, born of Mary, a virgin. Verse 24, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Do you know what? He kept his word. He sent that one. That one died for you. Do you know that God loved you that much? Do you know why God created you? Because there's none other like you. Nobody else has your DNA. Nobody else has your fingerprints. You're unique. You're a child of God. He created you because he loves you. He wanted someone just like you to give him pleasure. That's why. The Lord spoke it. It is so. It is written. Let it be. Verse 25. And I will make with them a covenant of peace. Not war. Peace. And will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. A figure of speech that means you be safe anywhere you go. Climb. Well, what happens on the first day of the millennium? That's the seventh trump. We're all changed into spiritual bodies. The lion lays down with the lamb, and the bear eats straw like a cow, or something like that. Anyway, sometimes I get my animals mixed up. But anyway, it means they're all in spiritual bodies, and there's no carnivores anymore. How wonderful that'll be, that you can go out into God's nature and enjoy it without worrying about getting a rattlesnake bite, or go down to the creek and a water moccasin's not going to swallow your big toe, okay, while you're baptizing somebody. I shouldn't say it. The Irish is getting ornery. We never mention water moccasins when people are thinking of baptism, okay? That's why we always go in the water first, or we send somebody. Whoa. Oh, back to business. Back to business here. It'll be wonderful to be able to go out into the wilderness and never have to worry about anything. 26, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessings. Truth falling everywhere. Understanding. Clarity. Common sense. Or just plain old horse sense. Where anyone can understand and grasp what it is our Father would have us do. 27. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, the head shepherd, the chief one, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. God isn't happy with people that mislead his children playing church. It's a very serious thing, my friend. We're not to judge, and don't. But don't you be deceived. That's what's important. And try to help others from being. God is against. If you had to think of a tree that produces fruit, what would come to your mind after the seventh trump? The tree of life, of course. The tree of life. You would read of it in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 2. 28. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, that's to say the goy, nations. And that's not good nations. That's all nations basically are, well, I don't, how do I want to say that? It's bad people that make nations bad. All right, let's say that. Neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. I hope that you can grasp onto a great share of that today, as long as you use common sense. You know where you can go and where you can't go. You know how to take care of what needs to be taken care of, and then depend on God to take. You can handle that, okay? Then God will kind of take care of the rest of it for you, okay? He will, you know, if you live way out in the country or somewhere where, or if you live, well, here I go giving advice. If you live somewhere where help is too far away and you're kind of defenseless, get you an equalizer, okay? Say, hello, stranger, okay? What would Jesus think about that? Well, I don't know. What did he say to Peter when he drew a sword and cut that old boy's ear off? Pardon me. You know, you've got to be able to use common sense, all right? And am I telling you to be cruel? Absolutely not. Don't you ever raise your hand in violence against anybody that doesn't have it coming. Okay? You heard what I said, didn't you? Okay. Be sweet. Okay? But what am I saying? You can count on some of these promises today as long as you use common sense. Then you're going to have some false preacher that's going to come along and say, you need to put all that away and just trust the Lord. Well, the Lord can't stand fools. And if you listen to a fool, Proverbs says you're a bigger fool than they are. So, you know, you've always got to use common sense. Okay? And collect the promise today. Verse 29. Let me hasten to add, always make sure your local community by law allows you the equalizer that you have chosen, okay? Never break laws. 29, and I will raise up from them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen, that's to say the goy, anymore. Why? The tares are going in the pit. Again, that plan of renown, I'd say my mind just zip goes right to Revelation 22, the tree of life that produces 12 manners of fruit 12 times a year, and everyone comes there to feed from it. That tree is the tree of life, which is none other than the head shepherd himself. I like the Greek on that. It's a food that you can partake of and you never grow bored. Or antsy. It doesn't really say antsy. That's my word, okay? But in my opinion, I put antsy with bored. If I get bored, I get real antsy. I can't see it. I got to do something. Grab the Bible, okay? Or do something. Huh? But it just simply gives you peace without question. How can I say it any better? Verse 30. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them. Do you know he's with you today? Have you felt him? And that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. That completes the verses addressed to the true shepherd. The next verse is addressed to the true flock, how does it fit you? Verse 31, and ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, not Satan's, not some fake, my pasture are men. You're not animals, you're men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. And there he gives it to us. You're living in the time that I feel this was addressing now, when you need to pay real close attention. You know, if you follow the chief shepherd, what was it he said he was going to be doing? Separating the cattle from the cattle. Well, are you supposed to be a follower of the good shepherd? Then what should you be doing? Separating. That means discernment. That does not mean judgment. Discern and do not be deceived. Again, how can I tell? By listening to Arnold Murray? No, listening to the shepherd, Jesus Christ. Listen to his word. I am not purposely going to deceive you. I promise you with all my heart. There's nothing. You know, I've never taken a salary for teaching God's word, so I don't have any monetary gain or anything else to gain from teaching God's word or anything else. And you know something? I never shall. God and I have an agreement. I told him as long as everything I touch turns to gold, I'll never take a salary. And I can plant potatoes now and they'd still make a crop this year. John, eat your heart out. No, they won't. I would be a fool if I went out and planted spuds now and expected to get taters for winter. Woo, talk about out of season. You got to play it cool. But follow him. In other words, I'm not going to miss, I'm back to my thought, and I should never bring myself into this, but I have this time, so here I'm digging a hole. Let me continue. If I go out of sight, hey. I'm never purposely going to mislead you, but you check me out, because I'm a human being, just like you are. I put my britches on the same way you other old boys do, and I wash my socks every day, like some of you should. But anyway, well, we're about done, aren't we? Oh, Lord. Anyway, check every person out. Why? You got one shepherd. God only sent one. He wanted to be your king coming out the gate. Man refused. Do accept the shepherd. Well, how can I be sure he is the shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me by the still. Psalms 23, it's all out through the word of God, who the chief shepherd is. All right. Real quickly, in closing, John chapter 10 comes to my mind, and I guess it's from the Holy Spirit. I'm sure it is. We're going there. John chapter 10. I like it when Jesus just doesn't beat around the bush and just gets it said. Okay? I really do. And John chapter 10, let's answer it with verse 11. Verse 11 in St. John chapter 10 reads, I am, that's a sacred name, got it? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Only one has done that, my friend. He was crucified for you. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, not a chief, not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming. That's old Satan, all right? That's the sixth trump, if you want to know the truth about it, let's say. And leaveth the sheep and fleeth, not away from, but to. Okay. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Well, if you don't want to jump in his bed, he'll sure scatter you, all right? 3:13. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. He just, you know, wanted to play church. It's back again to those false teachers. And I hope you can see that the damage comes in misteaching, not in meanness. I like to think well of people, and I don't think I think we have very few preachers that would just deliberately lie for money. You know, I know how much, well, I don't want to go into all that. It cost a great deal, I will a little bit, it cost a great deal of money to be on television. Like, we're on 325 stations in Canada and America. You would be shocked almost out of your shoes if you knew how much that cost every month. Well, some people, if God doesn't bless them, if they spend quite a bit, they got to beg or something if God's not going to bless them. You understand? I don't think they would do it for meanness. Am I coming through? Am I connecting? I really want to give them the credit for that. Oh, there's a few of them that would, perhaps. But they think they're doing right. That's what they were taught and so forth. Always bear that in mind and be gracious. 14, but never forget this verse. 14, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. And am known of mine. Do you know him? He's it, my friend. I mean, he comes over any man, any speaker, any program, or anything you've ever had in your life. He is the shepherd, sent of God, just for you. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and how many? One shepherd. Beloved, the minute he died on the cross, as it's written in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he went to all those that had died before, and he gave them the release if they chose to have it. And in the fourth chapter of 1 Peter, it says a lot of them accepted it, meaning the prisoners were released. Well, isn't it wonderful that he still has a group he's got together? That's going to happen in the millennium. That shows you his love. This one shepherd shows you his love for other sheep that he has, that he must yet gather. He's not going to force them. But those that choose him will walk with him, will be with him, and will recognize he's for real. Satan is the fake, and all those that Satan can deceive are not fakes of their own, but, you know, I don't want to be judgmental, but how can you say, I teach God's word and never teach it? I don't understand that. It doesn't quite come through from here to here. If you teach just one verse a week and then build a whole, it takes 600 years to make it through the Bible. How old are some of you? I don't think we're going to make it, in other words. 17, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. In other words, it's a thing I know. I'm going to pick it right back up. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. It comes directly from him, Almighty God. So, how many shepherds are there again? One. Uno. That's it. Okay. Itchy. And I'm speaking in different languages here, as many of you probably recognize. Anyway, Hannah, I'll add, okay? So, there's only one. So it's not difficult to figure or to understand how you and who you should follow. It's almost laughable when some start saying, brother, you don't understand. My family have been Hope to College. I didn't say Pentecost, did I? I'm refusing to mention them. My family's been under that church all the way back to my great 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 grandpa. That's our religion. Oh, well, I thought we just had one shepherd. So, in a way, we have to mature to the point that we break away from denominationalism, okay? And love them. Hey, love them. Fine. No problem. But as a mature student of God's Word, God is not a divider. He does separate the cattle from the cattle, but He gathers all the good cattle in the good pen and all the bad cattle in the bad pen. All right? And there's going to be some dehorning, and there's going to be some fixing. Okay? As an old cowboy might say, it's roundup time. All right? So we've got one shepherd only. Okay? So we don't have all that much to worry about, do we? Just follow Him. Follow Him. Now, it is true that sometimes you're going to hit some rough spots in the road. He did not promise you a rose garden, okay? Did He find one? You know, they kind of mistreated Him, didn't they? Well, they are you too. But never forget 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There will never anything happen to you that isn't common to everyone. I mean, it happens to all of us, or could. I will never tempt you with more than you can stand. I'm continuing quoting that verse. And never forget this. When you think it's too rough for you to handle, and I will always show you a way out. I'll always have you a way out. Hang tough, friend. We live in a time. God will never let you down on that. I mean, I promise you, He will keep His word. Just use good judgment. Do it by His word. And look around. Look the world over. Don't just listen to your little local news. It's interesting. You listen to world news and observe what's happening in this world and read what the shepherd said about the world and keep up. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for the privilege of serving You. Be with us this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
I'm going to go with Styles from Texas. When Jesus gave someone and said, go and sin no more, was this literal? Well, that's what He said. It was His wish that they sin no more. I'm pretty sure that wasn't possible, but naturally that's what He would say. In as much as He spoke for the Father, isn't that what you would say to one of your children? Then you know they might disappoint you, but at the same time, if it's your child, once they repent, you're going to forgive them. Well, so does our Father. Okay, yeah, it's literal. Okay, it's just like the woman that they caught in the act of adultery and so forth. He forgave her. Jeffrey from Oregon. What color are the Israelites? You know, it's strange. I get that question quite often, and it's so simple. First of all, what of which of the races were the Israelites? Well, they were of Adam. Ha-Adam to the deeper scholar. The Adam, the eighth day creation. What does the word Adam mean in Hebrew? You see, there's where your answer is. It's written all over the Bible what color they were. Because the word Adam is the word 120 in your Hebrew dictionary of your Strong's, and it means ruddy complected. Now, So we know what color they were. Does that take away from any other color? Absolutely not. God created all of the races on the sixth day. He looked, and it was good. So you better know it was good. You get some of these unlearned so-called teachers that will tell you some of the races came even from the incestuous affair of him and his mother. That is so ridiculous. It's sick. That's not going to change one's race. If he has an incestuous affair of someone of his own race, and they both parties were, well, how can you document that? Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11, to uncover your father's nakedness is to lie with his wife. All right, that's why it was Noah that cursed Canaan, not God. Okay, so anyway, it's so easy to find out what color he was. Simply look at the word Adam, ruddy complected, which means to show blood in the face. All right, Kalissa from Oklahoma. I'm sorry for having a hard time with this subject, but I need your help. I assume this must be a follow question. Question: first, God made us so he'd have someone to love him, right? Well, for his pleasure, yeah. And, of course, he did that in the first earth age, all right? And you said something about us being in heaven before. Well, with God, wherever God is heaven. Well, if I loved God when I was with him, why did he send me to earth? Satan had free will in heaven because he showed pride and is sentenced to die. Will God also make Esau? He also hated Esau, so why did he send him to earth also? Well, don't you think he deserves a chance? Do you want Esau? I mean, he didn't commit a sin to death. You certainly don't think our father would be unjust and sentence Esau just because he hated him to death. God doesn't operate that way. You see, what is very difficult for many people to understand is there is one thing God will not do. Therefore, now this is going to throw some people off, and I'm going to get letters, but I'm going to say it anyway. If there is something God will not do, then there is something God can't do. Well, why can't he do it? Because he won't. There is one thing, I'll say it again, and maybe this will cut down on some letters people will have their ears on. There is one thing God will not do. That's force someone to love him. Why? It wouldn't be real love.
Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books are necessary to understand the returning to the Father in that sense of